At World Pork Expo, we're going to visit with Dustin Baker. Dustin is with the National Pork Producers Council. He's Deputy Director for Economics and Domestic Production Issues. And Dustin, you know, the pork industry has been having some good times, ramping up production, new packing plants opening up, and then all of a sudden, seems like we kind of hit the wall with these trade issues here. So kind of talk about the state of the industry right now.
Sure. Well, I think it's a pretty exciting time to be a part of the pork industry, given the expansion in packing capacity and the expansion in pork production. So we're poised to have a year of record production here in 2018 at 26.7 billion pounds, which is about a 4.6% increase from a year ago, which was also a record. So that's pretty cool to be a part of an industry that's growing. Certainly, there's some headwinds coming our way in the form of retaliatory tariffs. Those are never helpful when they're being levied by some of our biggest trade partners. But you know, I think our producers are pretty hopeful for a quick resolution to these because the export markets are critically important to our producers' bottom lines. We export over 26% of production, and you know, that adds about $53 per hog marketed. And last year, a hog was worth about $150. So you can see pretty quickly how important those export markets are to our producers.
Now, the Chinese tariffs are in place, right? And Mexican tariffs are also in effect at this point. So how long before those, I guess, start to have an effect on exports?
Sure. Well, we're hoping that it won't have too large of an effect for too long. But certainly looking at the Chinese tariffs that were levied, Iowa State University economist Dr. Dermot Hayes estimated that the impact that it's had since March 1 on the futures market has been about $18 per pig in lost opportunity. So that's pretty significant in a low margin business such as the pork industry. And so we're hoping that we can, you know, get a quick resolution to these, working with the administration to try to get those tariffs removed. Because the bottom line is that our producers can outcompete anyone else in the world. We just have to have a level playing field to do so.
And of course, Mexico's our biggest market for pork exports, right?
Mexico is our largest market. We have data through April for the first 4 months of the year, and exports are up from last year through the first 4 months. And so, you know, time will tell what the actual impact is of these tariffs. It would probably take some time for, you know, these buyers to form new relationships and form new supply chains. So in the short term, I don't think it's going to have a tremendous impact on the amount of product flowing, but certainly if these last for too long, it could have detrimental effects for our producers and their bottom lines.
Okay, so domestically though, I mean, it's all good news as far as demand, right?
Certainly demand tends to follow the same trajectory as the overall economy. So when the economy is doing well, people tend to eat out more and tend to increase their protein consumption. And that's what we're in the midst of right now. We're right in the middle of grilling season. It's been hot here in Des Moines this week, so I know a lot of people are probably going home and barbecuing. So it's been excellent. If we look at cold storage, that's kind of a proxy for demand. It's been building over the last couple months, but it's right in line with the five-year historical average. So they're not in problematic levels yet. And so that leads us to believe that, you know, overall demand has been pretty good both here and abroad.
And what about competition from the other proteins?
Yeah, there's a lot of protein coming our way. I think USDA has overall red meat production up about 3.7% from a year ago, which is pretty significant. So, you know, we're getting it both on the broiler and the beef side of things. But like I said, overall, people like their bacon, people like their pork, and I think we're in a pretty advantageous relative pricing situation with the other proteins as well.
You also work on ag labor issues as they affect the industry, right?
I do. That's a topic that we've been hearing an awful lot about from our producers for a long time, but an issue that we've been taking a real leadership position in Washington, D.C. on as well. Typically in the media, you know, the reports talk about fruit and vegetable or dairy industries needing labor, but the bottom line is that the pork industry is facing a critical labor shortage as well. There isn't a domestic supply of workers sitting on the sideline that are, you know, able to take a lot of these jobs in terms of taking care of animals and creating economic growth in rural America. So it's awesome that we have a 3.8% unemployment rate across the country. That's the lowest in 18 years, but in a lot of these pork producing regions and counties, you know, the unemployment rate is even lower. Here in Iowa, it's 2.8%, and that's full employment. So we have to have access to a supply of workers that can come in and take care of these animals and continue to produce food products for consumers in the U.S. and across the world.
Yeah, and then there's the impact on the packing industry, too. And we've heard those reports that, you know, as they try to hire for second shifts at some of these new plants, that they're running into some issues there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we have to be able to have a supply of workers not only on the farm, but in the packing facilities as well. A lot of these new plants that have come up are in counties that have unemployment rates below even 2%. So, you know, we have to have access to workers, to year-round workers, in order to continue to allow the pork industry to be an engine of growth in the rural economy.
Are there any other issues from an economic standpoint that you're watching?
You know, there's an awful lot of issues. We have a lot of irons in the fire, just trying to make sure that you know, our producers are well represented in Washington D.C. and that those on Capitol Hill understand how their actions or inactions are really affecting our producers. So certainly a lot of our focus right now is on the trade situation and also about getting a farm bill across the finish line by September 30th. So no shortage of issues, but like I said, I'm pretty optimistic and long-term bullish on the industry.
With the farm bill, I mean, are there things in there that, from your standpoint, that are of importance?
Yeah, we've been taking, you know, traditionally the farm bill has been more of a defensive issue for the livestock industry. We don't have too many programs that we go up and advocate for, but this time around, our industry recognized the real threat that a foot and mouth disease outbreak would have on not only the pork industry, not only on the livestock industry, but on rural America. And so we've been advocating along with the rest of the barnyard for a viable foot and mouth disease vaccine bank at $150 million per year for 5 years in order to adequately address an outbreak of foot and mouth disease. We haven't had it here in the U.S. since 1929, but in the event of an outbreak, we would have export markets shut down immediately. So immediately we would have 26% too much pork product on the domestic market, and markets would be devastated. And of course, there'd be ripple effects throughout the rural economy. There'd be less demand over time for corn and soybeans. Dr. Dermot Hayes at Iowa State University has pegged the losses to corn, soybeans, beef, and pork in the event of an outbreak to be about $200 billion over 10 years. And so we think the $150 million a year for an adequate vaccine bank to ramp up production of vaccines in the event of an outbreak is a pretty small price to pay, or a pretty small insurance to pay in the to ward off such a large impact.